at our Saturday night service. Amen. It's good to be in church. Even on Saturday night, what a wonderful way to put an exclamation point on a beautiful day. Wasn't it pretty today? I tell you what, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it immensely. I want to invite you to open up your Bibles with me this evening to the book of Genesis. If you don't know where Genesis is, welcome to Christianity. We're glad you joined us. The book of Genesis is the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. And of course, you can feel free to use a Bible app. I said Genesis 1 would actually mean it's Genesis 2. On the screens, if you can pull up 1 Peter chapter 3 in the Message Bible. We're going to go a little bit different there, pull a curveball on you. 1 Peter chapter 3 in the Message Bible. And our Bibles, we're going to Genesis 2 and verse 21. Before we dive into the Word tonight, I wanted to thank everyone who supports this ministry financially. The month of March was our greatest month ever financially in the history of this church. And it's just amazing and beautiful and wonderful to see hearts that long to give to the Lord and long to be a blessing to His kingdom and to get a part of what God's doing. And with that, when you give to Word of Life Church, we turn right around and bless a lot of different ministries. Our goal is to help establish the kingdom of God within the city of Jackson, but also all around the world too. And so a portion of every dollar you give goes to local outreach, and a portion of every dollar you give goes to international outreach. And there's some missionaries and works that we support more than others. And there's one that I found last year that we're going to support pretty heavily. And just a couple of weeks ago, we wrote a check for $11,400 to help this missionary get around and preach the gospel. They're located right in between India and China. You can see it on the middle screen here in the map. In a place called Sikkim. That's actually the name of the little state. And it's a state of India, kind of like a colony. And it separates, once again, China from India. And you can see some pictures of the area. It is just a beautiful, gorgeous area. This we had to walk down this trail to get to where we were going to go preach. It's a little home church there. They've got a Bible school. They've got a boys' home. They've got a girls' home. And I tell you what, everyone who went on the trip, I think of all the places we went, we were most touched by this place. Because you see the ministry and the words of Jesus in action, where He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so oftentimes, it's so easy for us to live in our own little bubbles here, especially in the South, and you see churches on every corner and all of those things, that you kind of sometimes lose track of the fact that there's a world to be reached through Jesus Christ. And these people are out there doing it and are being a wonderful blessing to the body. And in the month of August, they're actually the missionaries here. Their names are Mike and Jyoti. Jyoti is actually from Sikkim. Mike is from Seattle. He went there as a missionary. And not only did he impart the word to the country, but found a wife. She's a wonderful lady and he's a wonderful man. So they'll actually be here in August. He'll preach on a Wednesday night for me. And you'll get to meet him and greet him. But we're going to support them heavily every month. We're not only going to cut them one big check, but especially when we get an opportunity to go see missionaries and go see their works, where we can see what they're doing with the funds and resources, we're going to get behind them. And so I just want to say an incredible thank you to everyone who gives, because not only do you help this ministry, but you help ministries like that every single month too. So it's just amazing. It's wonderful how liberal givers you are, just wanted to say thank you, but show you not only does your gift keep things running here, but it's keeping the kingdom of God running in all of these places. We especially like to get behind smaller missionaries because a lot of times it's hard for them to find support stateside. So when we can find things that are upstarting, just getting going, man, we're going to pour on support to help them establish the kingdom of God, especially in remote places. Amen? So give yourselves a hand for being such liberal, amazing givers. This past week, I went to bed, or I tried to go to bed Sunday night after Easter. And sat in bed, and every preacher, after he preaches a sermon, is always thinking about, I wonder what I'm going to say next Sunday and next weekend. And so I started going through my mind of different things I could say. And this passage of Scripture from 1 Peter chapter 3, I just stuck with me, just stayed in my heart. And I had a message I was going to preach on overcoming fear. But as I was praying, I just couldn't get away from it. Now, if you're familiar with 1 Peter chapter 3, you know a couple of weeks ago, we actually preached out of this scripture. And ever since I preached on it, I always felt like there was another message that was supposed to come out of that text. And if I had one main point, which it's always a good idea when you get up to preach to actually have a point, that's always a plus when you can have a point as to what you're saying. My one main point to everyone in here tonight, but especially the ladies, is to live a life that is beautiful before God. I think every woman in here would probably desire to say that she felt beautiful all the time. And it's nice when you walk into your husband or you get around other people and they tell you how beautiful you are. Come on, ladies. How many of you like men? You should tell your wives how beautiful they are, right, ladies? I mean, you like to hear it. And with that, that's a good thing. It's good to hear that you're beautiful. But what I want you to be able to say is that when God looks at you, and when God looks at your inward man, and when God looks at your heart, that when he sees it, he stands back and says, now that's beautiful. Now that is gorgeous. To live a life that is not only beautiful before people, but beautiful before God. This is what Peter is getting at in 1 Peter chapter 3. And notice what he says on the screens, 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 1 there in the message. He says, the same goes for you wives. Be good wives to your husbands. Now, if you're a male here tonight, and you say, well, he's not preaching to me. Yes, I am. I'm helping you. After service, you can come up and give me a little fist bump on the side. And just, thanks, Pastor. I appreciated that. Be good wives to your husbands. Now, notice this is the Word of God. This is not a self-help book. This is God talking to the ladies here. Be good wives to your husbands, responsive to their needs. There are husbands who are indifferent as they are to any words about God, will be captivated, keep going, by your life of holy beauty, keep going. What matters most is not your outward appearance, the styling of your hair, the jewelry you wear, the cut of your clothes, verse 4, but your inner disposition. Cultivate inner beauty, the gentle, gracious kind that God delights in. Next scripture. The holy women of old, now notice, were beautiful before God that way and were good, loyal wives to their husbands. The holy women of old were beautiful before God that way. Now, it's very interesting. Once again, I think the Bible is so amazing because it is thousands of years old, but it's still so relative for today. I mean, isn't it the truth? I mean, it's incredibly relevant to how we live our lives. And back then, just as now, ladies were very interested in cultivating outward beauty. And he lists three things here, and it's funny how these three things are still prominent in the lives of ladies today. He says, the wearing of jewelry. Now, how many of you, when someone gets engaged, I'm talking especially to the ladies, when someone gets engaged, what's one of the first things you look for? I want to see the what? Come on now, talk to me. I want to see your what? I want to see the ring. When you get around a new lady you just met, what are you looking for? You're looking at the ring, right? You're looking at the ring. And then he says not only the wearing of jewelry, but he also says the styling of your hair. Now, how many of you have ever paid attention to the styling of another lady's hair? Or how many of you paid attention to the styling of your own hair tonight? Anyone? Well, let's hope you did. Let's hope you did. I can remember I walked into my living room one time and saw my wife looking at a book. And I looked at the book and realized that all that was in the book were pictures of ladies' hair. Now, I'm all for books with pictures. I like books with pictures. But I was looking at, and there were no words. No words, just the styling of other people's hair. And she was about to get a haircut, and she recently did get a haircut, and it's beautiful. She's never been more precious, more beautiful. They like to be told, man. They like to be told. So with that, how many of you have ever paid attention to the cut of your hair or the styling of your hair or another woman's hair? Sure, because just like back then, it was important then. And to ladies today, it's important to them today. And he says not only the cutting of the hair, but also the cut and style of the clothes. And how many of you know you're interested? You like to see the new dresses, or you like to see the new shoes, that kind of deal. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. Nothing wrong in the least with liking jewelry or paying attention to how your hair looks, or the styling of your clothes and wanting to be beautiful for your husband, wanting to be beautiful as a lady, honoring your body as the temple of God. That's a wonderful, beautiful thing. But what God is saying in this passage is, ladies, please allow your life to be more than that. Please allow your life to have an inward beauty to it. That just as you pay attention to the cutting of your hair and the cutting of other people's hair, and just as you pay attention to the wearing of jewelry from other ladies, and just as you pay attention to the styling of a cute outfit, he says, would you pay attention to your heart too? Just as you spend time cultivating a natural beauty, will you spend time cultivating a spiritual beauty? Now, I think every lady in here could immediately say that that would be beneficial, right? That if I lived a life beautiful before God, that would be beneficial to me as a lady, to you as a lady, that would make a difference in the quality of your life. But what this scripture is saying is not that. That's true, but that's not what the point of the writing here. The point of the writing is, not only would it be a good idea for you to do it for you, but he says it would be a good idea for you to do for your husband, for your family. That he talks about in verse 1, that as you live this life of holy beauty before God, that even if you lived with a man who was completely unresponsive to any word about God, that if you lived a life of not only natural beauty, but of holy beauty, that your husband would step back and be captivated by that type of life. And it would actually influence his heart over into the things of God. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and it's very important for a man to be committed to his wife. It's very important for a man to be committed to the call of God. It's very important for the man to be committed to God. And as men, as a man, I always talk to men and tell them, be committed. Be committed. Be a committed man. Be committed to your wife. Be committed to your God. Be committed to the call of God. And what he's saying here is God is deeply interested in your husband's and your kids' relationship with those three things too. He wants your husband committed to you. He wants your husband committed to the call that is on his life. He wants your husband committed to him. And he's telling the ladies, his ladies, this life of inward beauty that you live before him is going to significantly help or hinder that commitment. And he's saying cultivate a life of inward beauty. See, what matters most in the grand scheme of things is not getting natural beauty and getting all dolled up. Nothing wrong with that. Get all dolled up for your husband. Trust me, he doesn't mind. Get all dolled up. That's a great thing. But what he's saying here is what matters more than that is when you step out at night with his old sweatshirt on and the pair of flannel pants you've had since college, and you step out that way with no makeup on, but there's a spirit about you that just serves that family with such a grace and such a power that it actually makes a deposit in their heart. That when you pick up the kids from school and you just got done working out and there's nothing naturally you feel beautiful about yourself. You've got maybe a hat on or sweatpants on. You're sweaty. But those kids get in that car. And when they get in, they hear praise and worship music. And they can feel the presence of God. And then they start singing it. And it makes a difference in their commitment to God. And it makes a difference in their commitment to His plan. And it's going to make a difference in their commitment to their spouses later on. And when you walk out and you feel naturally like you've got some work to do, your roots may be showing or whatever it is, and you feel like you've got some work going, you need to work on some things. But when you wake up in the morning and you take time to adorn your heart like you did your flesh, and you take time to slip on peace and to put on the Word of God, and to put on the anointing of God, and to put on praise and worship, that it's actually when you walk out, and even though all the other things are not put on and put together, that when you walk out, you're walking out with a presence that is on your life. Well, I'll put it to you this way. An influence that is on your life that begins to influence them. Nothing could be more important than this, ladies. I'm telling you, as ladies, I know how much you care about your families. And what God is saying is don't just take care of the natural things to appease your families, but please take care of the spiritual things too. I was thinking about this on my walk this past Tuesday. We've been doing a lot of family walks together because the kids one day decided they would like to walk with us. And it's no fun because they always ditch us for the cul-de-sac kids. You know, you walk down your street, get to the cul-de-sac, there's kids playing, they ditch you. I mean, it's like they don't even notice your presence anymore. So anyway, it happened today. They ditched us for the cul-de-sac kids. And so with that, I told them, I said, no, y'all just took a shower. Daddy's going on for a walk. And so I went by walk by myself, and I was thinking about these things, not just for ladies, but as a man cultivating a life privately before God. It matters what you do in secret. It matters what you do when no one is looking. It matters what you do. And I was thinking about that in my life, and I was thinking about this in the lives of others. And then I specifically started thinking about this scripture of a lady taking the time to adorn herself with spiritual things, just like she would take the time to adorn herself with natural things. And as I was thinking about this, the Lord just asked me a question, and it was a question or a question I didn't know the answer to. And just in my heart, this was the question. Why did God make woman from a rib? I got to thinking about it. I don't know. Do you? Why did God make woman from a rib? When He made every other land-based animal, they were both made from the dirt. When He made Adam, He made Adam from the dirt. Why did He make woman out of man? And then, out of all the things He could have used from the man to make woman out of, why did He use a rib? Why not a finger? Why not a hand? Why not a leg? Why not a toe? Why did He use a rib? And so I walked all that time and didn't get an answer. And then Wednesday came, and I was getting ready to preach Wednesday night. And Wednesday night I preached, came home from church. And I call it a preacher's high. Sometimes after service, you know, your adrenaline is still kind of pumping. The anointing is still there. So you don't want to go to sleep because you're still really excited about the word and still really excited about things. And so I stayed up till about 12:30 just studying and praying and all those kinds of things. And anyway, I started going back to read this passage in Genesis 2 that God made woman from a rib. And I pulled out my computer. I started doing research on ribs, why God made a woman from a rib. Hence the name of the message. I want my baby back. Rib. Every man wants his baby back being his rib. You get it? See, I thought it was kind of clever. Kind of every man wants his baby to come back and be his rib. So I thought it was pretty creative. So anyway, yeah. So anyway... I started researching all of this. Now, before we get there, let's look at something here in Genesis chapter 2, and let's look at verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called, whoa, man, he was excited, he got married, because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother. Now notice this, men, because we may talk about this next time, and shall cleave unto his wife. Whose job is it to do the cleaving in any marriage? And shall a man do what? Cleave to who? His wife. Whose job is it to do the cleaving? It's my job. And they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and man and his wife were not ashamed. Now let's go to chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which God had made. And he said unto the woman, yes, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, nah, you're not going to die. He's such a liar. For God knoweth that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, this is very interesting. Let's go back to our question. Why did God make woman from a rib? Why not out of the dust? Why not from a finger? Why not from a leg? Why did he pick a rib? I Googled ribs and what they do and how they function. And one of the main purposes of ribs is to protect your most vital organs, most notably your heart. And that a rib will be broken before it allows any damage to come to those vital organs. That's one of the chief purposes of a rib, is to provide protection, strength, support to the key internal organs. God looked down at man and said, this is not good that he is alone. I'd like to think man picked up a pair of underwear, smelt them, knew they were dirty, turned them inside out and wore them two more days. And God saw that and said, this is not good. He needs some help. This is not good that this man is alone. And he says, I will make a help meet for him. Now, a lot of people think that word help is like, well, a woman's there to serve a man. A woman there is there to kind of assist the man. That's not what that word help means. That word help literally means military support. Every other time it's used, it's like, hey, we're coming over to help you. In the Old Testament, it was, hey, we're bringing our army and we are going to wipe out the enemy on your behalf. It is powerful aid, powerful support. And that's what God made woman for. Man needed some powerful aid, some powerful support. And one of the key reasons, or one of the key things that man needed powerful aid and powerful support for, is the protection of his heart. God made man out of the dirt. Dirt is very rugged. It has a natural strength about it. You can take a house and lay a solid foundation upon solid dirt, and that dirt will be a stable, settling influence on whatever structure is built upon it. There's a ruggedness, a toughness to dirt, and that's why men should be tough. Amen. Rugged. Be a man. Be all the man God's called you to be. God made man from the dirt for a reason. The woman he made out of the flesh. And that is very tender. But it's a different kind of strength. See, a man is always told his whole life to be tough. Be tough mentally. Be tough physically. Fight. Be tough. Don't back down, be tough. But there's one place where we are not supposed to be tough. That's our heart. Our heart is to be tender. And this is why God needed a woman. And this is why God placed mothers in the lives of children. Is men can come in and teach these kids how to be tough. But a woman comes in and teaches them how to be tender in the right place. Tender in the heart, because the heart holds the secret to life. And if you're wrong there, it's going to mess you up in every other area. And in order for that to be right, God needed strong women, powerful aid, powerful support to protect that heart. Now, every woman in here, you know God has designed you to be an influencer. And you also know that you have the power to influence people, especially men. It's all throughout the Bible. You have that power. I love the old saying, if the man is the head of a home, the woman is most definitely the neck, and she can turn that head anywhere she wants. And there's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of truth, and that's why there's manipulation and all of those other things, because people know they have the power to influence. Now, in the Bible, you see that influence used for good, and you see that influence used for bad. You see ladies literally take good men and take their life completely off track. There's a whole book about it in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs tells men, tells ladies, look, ladies, don't be this kind of lady, because your influence, when it goes to work in that man's life, will lead him down to a path of hell. Your feet lead to hell, and the influence you're putting on that man's life is going to lead him over into a place that is dangerous for him, dangerous for his other relationships, and it is going to be dangerous for the call of God on his life. A good chapter to read is Proverbs chapter 7. As a man, you should read Proverbs chapter 7 as much as you can. It talks about a young man who walked down the wrong street, met a wrong woman, and that wrong woman ruined that young man's life. And friend, I'm telling you, and the man should have said no, I understand all of that. I'm not throwing all the responsibility over upon the ladies. And when I talk to the men, I tell them to say no. If you've ever been to one of our mighty men, it's say no. Do what Joseph did. Run. Run. There's only one option there. You don't negotiate with crazy. You run from it. And so with that, there's only one thing to do as a man is run. But ladies, he's not just talking to men and saying, men, don't get around these type of ladies. He's also talking to ladies and saying, ladies, you have the power to influence men. And you know this. And that husband, he has your ear. And the counsel you give him is going to be counsel that sticks with him. And so the counsel that you give him, is it protecting his heart and leading his heart to life? Or is it leading his heart down a wrong path? Ladies, I've designed you to protect the heart. And if there is no protection there, his heart will be touched by things that it shouldn't be touched by. You've got to be a strong source of protection to protect that man's heart. You see it on the positive side with strong women of God who are not only physically beautiful, but incredibly spiritually beautiful. Esther walks in and changes the life of a king, turns his heart, gives him wise counsel, and saves his life and the life of a nation. Abigail comes to an angry David, and she tells David, "This is going to hurt your heart. Don't you do this against Nabal. Don't you do this against him." She was guarding his heart, protecting that heart. And then you see other ladies that didn't give a rip about a man's heart, like Delilah with Samson. She knew what she was doing was going to lead him down into a path of sin, but she was more thinking of herself and what she wanted than what he wanted. A lady who we get from Scripture was incredibly beautiful naturally, but there was no beauty spiritually. He says, "Ladies, you gotta know I've designed you to protect. I've designed you to support." And in the text that we read right here, what do we see? We see a lady in Eve, first woman created, made from the rib to provide powerful aid, powerful support. And she didn't wake up one morning and say, "You know what? I'm going to make the whole world go to hell today. I'm going to ruin Adam's life. I'm going to ruin my life. I'm going to ruin everybody whoever comes after me. I'm going to ruin their life." You know, she didn't wake up saying that. You know what she did? She woke up, and you can imagine the garden must be a kind of a lonely place. I mean, you either got Adam there to talk to or God there to talk to. And one day she's walking through the garden, and a snake starts talking to her. That's interesting. And so she goes over there and starts holding a conversation. And what's he doing? He's influencing her. The enemy is influencing the lady. Why? Because he knows. If I can get to her, he saw all of this. He saw how God made the man. He saw how God made woman. And he knows, if I can get to her, I can get to the whole thing. And so what's he do? He doesn't come in and say, "Hey, I'm Satan. I'm here to ruin you." He comes in and he starts talking. He starts influencing. It's one thing to be around a wrong influence. It's a whole nother thing to hang around a wrong influence. And in your life, everyone, but especially ladies, there are things that are going to try to come into your life, be it other ladies, be it other magazines, be it other books, be it other shows, be it other celebrities, whatever it may be. And I don't have to name names because I guarantee you as I talk right now, something, if there needs to be any type of not hanging around anymore, it'll come to your heart while I'm talking. And she hung around it. In your life, there are going to be things that pop up. There's going to be people that are at work that you can't help but be around. But it's one thing to be around them. It's a whole nother thing to allow them to influence you. You're going to be walking through a checkout line, and there's going to be something there that is around you. But it's one thing to be around it. It's a whole nother thing to hang around it. And all she did with Satan was just hang around with him. Just sit back and talk shop. And he says, "You know what? What about this tree over here?" "Well, we're not supposed to eat of that tree." "Really? Yeah. Why?" "Well, God said on the day we eat of it, we would die." And he said, "You're not going to die. Just go over, take a little bite. It won't hurt. Just a little bit of this won't hurt." And what does she do? She goes and she takes a little bite. But not only does she do it, but what's she come over to Adam and do? "Hey, taste this." And the influence that she got in secret was now influencing her husband openly. And it affected his relationship with God. And it affected the call of God. And friends, I want to encourage you, as men, you got to be a guarder of your garden. Make sure your home life is pure. But as ladies, I want to encourage you that the influence you receive is also influencing your husband. And the ladies you allow influence you, it's influencing your relationship with your husband. And the speaking that you listen to, it's influencing your relationship with your husband. And I want to encourage you to make sure we do what God said to do in 1 Peter chapter 3. And that is what he's simply saying there is, ladies, let me influence you. That as you get in my presence, well, let me put it this way. What did Eve do here? All she did was get in the presence of something that was bad for her. That's all she did. She got in the presence, the influence of something that was bad for her, and carried that influence over into her household. And all God's saying is, look, this is not rocket science. I need you as a lady to cultivate inner beauty. And I need you to come and be with me and to have no excuses, just like you have a routine every morning to perfect your physical body. Get a routine every day to cultivate inner beauty. And as you do that, it's not only going to be good for you, which I think we could all agree it would be, but it'll also be good for the lives of the people that are around you. Now, not only that, but in closing, I just felt this in my heart to say, now everybody in here needs to have time where you cultivate inner beauty with the Lord, where you get around the Lord and allow His influence to influence you so that you properly influence the lives of others. But there are also people in your life that can lead you into things. And I want to ask you as ladies, the ladies that you are closest to, what part of you do they care more about? Are they more concerned with your outward beauty or are they more concerned with your inward beauty? What do they bring the best out of? Do they bring the best out of you spiritually? Are they making you want to adorn yourself with greater peace, with greater joy, with greater love and devotion to your family? Or are they encouraging you to just be beautiful naturally? You need to get around people who influence you to be who God created you to be. Now, with that, there may be some people right now that the Lord's dealing with you about and saying, you know what, I know they're bringing out the worst of me. But there may be some other people in your life right now, and you know, I need to get around them. Because when I'm around them, they bring out the best of me. Maybe it is a mother-in-law. Maybe it is a mother. Maybe it is a sister. Maybe it's a friend who you know. They care about inward beauty. They care, their commitment to their family, their commitment to God. I need to be around that. Because what happens? The influence that they influence you with is going to do what? It's going to be the influence you take to your family. It's going to be the influence that you take to your husband. It's going to be the influence you take to your friends. It's going to be the influence you take to your children. And I'm telling you, ladies, there are some things that you can do for your little girls right now that later when they're older girls, there'll be some things they don't do that other older girls do. Because of the influence you put on their heart. That your physical beauty, when you walk into a place, it may impress the people that are around you, but your spiritual beauty made an impression on the heart of that little girl. That your spiritual beauty made an impression on the life of that boy. That your spiritual beauty made an impression on the life of that husband. And it drew them into a deeper commitment to God and a deeper commitment to you and a deeper commitment to their future spouse and a deeper commitment to the call of God that is on their life because of the spiritual beauty you adorned yourself with every single day. Oh, you've been a wonderful audience to preach to. I could preach you all the way into the morning, but I want you here next Saturday night. So let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's go before the Lord. Father, we come before you tonight. We love you so much. We thank you for...